who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Let's pray. Yes, Lord. We sing the mighty powers of our God, and we thank you so much for the blessings of this day and for all you are able to do with us, your children, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I do want to say that I thought it was really great that the passages today related to gifts. Since I'm so thankful for the honor of having been able to share the pulpit here for the last few months, and so I can share a message with you and give you more gifts. Although I'm not giving you any more gifts. The Holy Spirit is doing that. So we will be mostly in those passages that we already read this morning, so you do not have to turn there. But didn't you think that the screen that we're looking at this morning, don't you think that's absolutely beautiful, the packages? I thought it was just great. And I've been thinking a lot about Christmas time, and I'll refer to that in my sermon, but I just wanted to give you this lead-in. And if do you recall maybe when you had small, really small children, before they learned to read their name on their Christmas package? And maybe, I don't know if you did it this way, but at my house, what we did so that they could choose the packages and give them to each other was we had them decorated one way for one child and another way for an adult and another way for someone else. And so you might have snow person on one, and you might have a Christmas tree on another, and you might have a beautiful bow on the one for mom, you know, something like that. So I would love to do that, wrap my own, make them look beautiful, right? So more gifts. You may remember a year or so ago, actually a couple of years in a row, Cape had book groups. We hope maybe we'll have book groups again. Those were fun. And one of the books we read was quite unlike our others. One, it was pure fiction. Two, although some of the others were pure fiction, but it was really unusual fiction. And three, I recommended it because it was so much fun when I read it, but I was really afraid the others would find it way over the edge because it was way over the edge, sort of like me, and sort of like I am, whichever way is proper grammatically speaking. So it was way over the edge, but we had a great time with what we learned in spite of it being fiction. There was a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor and irony, and there was something called a nudge, yes, I see people ready to say nudge, which turned out in this made-up story to be how the main character, the reluctant prophet, a.k.a. Allison, heard God direct her, or felt she was hearing God direct her. Allison's the right name, correct, everybody? Yes. I looked, saw a face and went, oh dear, was that right? So Allison was a faithful churchgoer who had become committed to spiritual matters in maybe her 30s. I did not review my book when I did this. I believe she was mid-40s in the book. She was at least old enough to be certain she was too old to be sitting in church, listening to the priests, watching people around her, and suddenly hearing what she thought was an audible voice, but no one else heard, call her name and say, "Allison, buy a Harley." For anyone who doesn't know what a Harley is, that is a motorcycle. Nancy Rue is the author of The Reluctant Prophet, and I highly recommend it to men and women, not because it's scripture or anything, but because it may help you see there are many ways we hear from God and many ways the Holy Spirit uses gifts in order to use us as the ones with skin on here who represent God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, who we can't feel or see or touch, and usually we can't hear audibly anyway. The very short version of the story of Allison is, step by step, she simply did the next thing she heard or sensed I'm sure she checked it all with, and that would be wise to do, with what you knew about God, what you knew about wisdom. But she, and it led her to buy the Harley, take lessons, drive through the worst parts of her town, not unlike Nashville, Tennessee, where I gather the author spent time, meet women of the night, and other unique characters whom God loves, but many of us fear, even if we pray for them and wish we could help them when they are looking for spiritual connections. You see, the nudge became our group's catchphrase. And we learned during our time in that book, it may have been fiction, but something a lot like the nudge happens in our lives too. At least it did in ours while we were reading the book, and I think probably people are still finding nudges, or at least recognizing them as nudges. Now, we read today in the passage on gifts, thank you very much, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and I wonder how many of you may have heard about the gifts there before. Most of you. Have any of you ever taken a spiritual gifts inventory? Checked off answers to questions and added up your check marks to see where you fit in being blessed with one or another of the spiritual gifts? The ones in this passage, or maybe even another set of gifts that's found in another passage in the Bible. I have, too. To be honest, I don't remember specifically where my tests placed me, but I remember a couple of those tests being exciting for me and for the people with whom I took them, because we wanted to know where we fit so we could make use of what the Holy Spirit had chosen to pour into us. There are also fruits of the Spirit, not gifts, but love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, fruits we see in our lives as we grow in our relationship with God, and the relationship trickles into our interactions with others. Well, there's also another chapter in the Bible, which I just mentioned, which tells us some are called to be preachers, teachers, and other responsible members of the community of faith too, and you've heard of those. Far be it from me to shake my head this way, negatively, for those who aren't watching, about what we find in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, I do shake my head at a common reaction I've seen among the followers of Jesus, believers in God. It's a tendency to feel we have limited gifts, based sometimes on what we can't find in ourselves when we read those passages, what we don't think we have when we find ourselves fitting somewhere in an inventory. Many of us believe we have such limited gifts. We miss, another one of my favorite phrases, what is before us on any given day, what is right here present for us. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to pray again for a second. Lord, I thank you for the message of these passages, and I pray, Lord, specifically for us to be understanding that you have something special for each one of us, and as we have prayed before, help us to hear what it is you have for us individually while we are hearing as a group what the word says. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we think about the Corinthians passage and the gifts from the Holy Spirit, I know most of us do think there's one gift for us. And generally speaking, it appears that we are most gifted in a certain area, perhaps, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. But when we grow older and we're raising our families, eventually the packages are there with names on them. And then they're not as narrowly defined as the wrapping paper. And I'll leave that there for right now. So when we find ourselves this is what we look for to do, and this is how we see ourselves developing into who we are as a part of the church community, the church family. And I agree with the very special strength that each one of us is given. But the Holy Spirit isn't narrowly defining us each and ending our usefulness in that category. I think we do that to ourselves. And it might be narrowly seeing what the Holy Spirit is able to do with us when the Holy Spirit is able to use me, gifted here, in this way today. Or you, gifted here, in this situation tomorrow. Remember Jesus saying to his mother in the story of the wedding, in that John passage, "Don't tell me there's no wine because the time hasn't come yet." And in one of the passages I read, it says the time hasn't come yet when the true glory of Jesus will be seen and he would be recognized as God's son. Do you notice what I noticed there? Don't bother me with this now, or my time hasn't come. What happened next? His mother, right? For whatever reason, maybe because it was his mother, but Jesus heard her voice. He responded to it, and it seems to me it was the nudge he needed to move him forward, to help with the wine, which was all gone, and to create the first great miracle of his ministry. And I did notice that it led to the disciples believing in his holiness and who he was and what he could do. The miracle of his ministry, water into wine, turns out providing a rather rare situation at that wedding, saving the best wine for last, which never happened. The biggest gift, when no one was expecting it. So it made quite an impression on those who were still able to appreciate it. Apparently some of them might not have. It's, in my mind, the way the Holy Spirit shares gifts with us. When someone around us may most need it, not expect it, but will appreciate it the most. My time has not yet come, but I'm now acting on the nudge, your voice, my mother, created, and I will do this today. Clearly, there's a lot more to that story. I tend to do this with specific places, and you've learned that about me. But there's more to that story than what I'm sharing here with you about yourselves. But this point is important to me to share. God came here, the Godhead, decided the world had to see Jesus in skin to understand how much love the Creator had for all of us. And so Jesus came. And as a human man, this is one of the ways God was made known, the miracles, the gifts. And people began to be drawn to not simply the presence of the man Jesus, not entirely limited to his belief in the holy documents and what he was taught in the temple, not solely these miracles, but all of it in one package, or maybe in several packages that came along in a gift to the world. See, you and you and you and you folks out there and I are God's gift to the world, or we bring God's gift to the world. We have been filled with God's gifts. Some of them we have never even recognized in ourselves, much less used yet. Some of them may not even have been shared by the Holy Spirit with us yet. I think it's because we've missed, some of it is because we've missed our place in the story again. Maybe not missed our place in the story, but we can't figure out what our particular role is in the story. Or we think that there is a particular role for us in the story. So let me ask you a question. We've just come through the Advent season, which included the celebration of the birth of Jesus and the giving of gifts to one another, right? You gave gifts. You received gifts. If someone came in here with beautifully wrapped boxes, kind of like that one we still can see on the screen, and our names on them, Would you be disinterested because you've had more than enough of gift giving this season? Or of opening gifts again already? Would you be intrigued by the pretty packages? The fact of someone caring enough to think of a gift for you and then to take time to make it attractive and bring it to you. Would you open the package? Or would you just let it sit here till next December? I know a couple of people in my life who would say, yes, let's leave it there till December, and they would wait until December. It's an amazing ability. I'm not criticizing the ability. I'm just making a point. And so presumably the person who sent the gifts would have suited them to each one of us, and we would not just be appreciative, but we would enjoy them because of how they would fit, how they would be a part of our lives, and maybe how we could share them with someone else as well. Well, that's a bit the way it is with nudges. With the Holy Spirit filling us each with different gifts, we have to be aware of them or watching for them and ready to open them and fit them into our day. Now, you notice I'm not talking about the specific gifts described in those passages. You probably also noticed that in the reading, there's one set of gifts. In the Church of the Nazarene, we don't usually do more than slide past. I'll mention it today, but in my unique sort of way. So I'm going to read over those, starting in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12 again. Because it will refresh our minds. And there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they're all from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but we serve the same Lord. And there are different ways God works in people, but it is the same God who works in all of us to do everything. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person. So just for what it's worth, it's in you right now. There's something of the Spirit in you, of a spiritual gift. And we probably, if we thought about it and engaged with you, we might even be able to say, oh, that's what that gift is. The Spirit gives this to each one so we can help each other. The Spirit gives one person the ability to speak with wisdom. I'm in verse 8. And the same Spirit gives another person the ability to speak with knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to one person and to another gifts of healing, special prayer perhaps. And yet, you understand, we all have faith, correct? So it's the depth of the gift, or it's the use of the gift. The Spirit gives to one person the power to do miracles, to believe and have great faith in them, to another the ability to prophesy, and to another the ability to judge what is from the Spirit and what is not. That's always helpful. The Spirit gives one person the ability to speak in different kinds of languages, and to another the ability to interpret those languages. One Spirit, verse 11, the same Spirit does all these things. The Spirit decides what to give each one. What I've experienced in my life is kind of like this passage, but in a huge room with a creche, a stable, the nativity, and the wise men bringing their gifts, and the rest of the room, this is how I see my life with gifts, and the rest of the room is full of all kinds of packages, all of them there for me to open and use, every one of them just right for a different day, a time, a place, another week, maybe two in one day, maybe to use at the grocery store when running into a cashier, and another one to use later that day hanging around at home watching the Patriots beat Kansas City. Yes! You knew I'd get that in there somehow. Now, do you see where I'm going with the gifts? I mean, I'm bringing this down to some specific things that we can do with gifts, but but stay with me, okay? So I think of all of the gifts in the other verses can be offered to every one of us at different times in our lives. I hope you understand that much. And I know that's a stretch in how you've looked at those passages. But I have one more for you today. And it really is a stretch. But it's about the languages. And I'm not going to talk about the passage and the different ways denominations fit that into their belief system, which they do. And that's fine. I'm going to tell you how the language verse explains something to me about all the packages in the living room under my tree. Keep in mind, they all come from the same God, right? The same Holy Spirit. And they're all specially chosen for me in my living room. In your living room, they're chosen for you. But for precise moments and situations and interacting with chosen individuals. So the significance of the verse in languages for me, and again, I'm not telling you this is a translation of that verse. I'm saying this is how I've been looking at it related to gifts for myself. It's as if I'm in a moment of time and something someone says or something I don't hear audibly strikes me as something I could step into, something I could say, something I could do, or even something I could work toward becoming. You know, Gloria, you should buy a Harley. Yeah, right. Please, I don't want to hear that person. But the Spirit gives us the ability to recognize, to know, to interpret that voice, that thought, that visual, that nudge. So in the second half of that verse 10, and in the second half of even of the second half, so it's like the last quarter, the Spirit gives one person or prepares a situation or moves the heart of one of us so a language is spoken to us. A thought is communicated to us. It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. A visual opportunity is placed right in front of us. And then the Spirit gives us the ability to understand that thought, that visual, that impression, and we step into a moment of spiritual gifting. Sometimes the gift is for our blessing and benefit, but usually it is, first of all, for the other one, as long as we respond and step into it. Usually it's a moment of prevenient grace in somebody's life, God having been preparing someone and that someone being aware of that without knowing it's God, but having questions or having situation going on, and the prevenient grace of God is working in both of our lives, and we have the opportunity to share together in that moment. I hope that makes sense to you. In John chapter 2, there are a couple of verses at 10 and 11, where what was he called in that other, the master of the banquet said, "The people always serve the best wine first. Later, when the guests are drunk, they serve the cheaper wine. But you, bridegroom, have saved the best wine until now." This was the first of all the miraculous signs Jesus did, it says in verse 11. He did it in the town of Cana in Galilee. By this, he showed his divine greatness, and his followers believed in him. Another translation says, this was Jesus' first miracle. He did it in the village of Cana in Galilee. There, Jesus showed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. His glory, the gift of himself. That's the presence of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the great gifts which the Holy Spirit endows us with when we pay attention and realize maybe this is our time, after all. Maybe this is a miracle about to happen. I don't want to miss a single one of those moments, do you? 1 Corinthians, one more time. My Cape Elizabeth brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. God doesn't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I heard the word ignorant and I thought, well, we're not ignorant here, that's for sure. But unaware, perhaps, maybe, and maybe ignorant means that. And some different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Different ministries and the same Lord. Different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in every one of us. So this is, according to Gloria, a demonstration of the Spirit to each person for the common good, a word of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, understanding, interpretation, caring, sharing, letter writing within the context of the spiritual gifts, transportation, food services, cleaning, thoughtfulness. Today, talking to the man on the curb by the post office. Tomorrow, buying a McDonald's meal for someone who's stuck at home. Who wrote that down? If you're 98 and you're stuck at home, you may not want the McDonald's meal, but whatever you would like, we would. Next week, starting a book club, a book group at church. In another couple of weeks, attending a group. Next month, signing up for a trip, a missions trip, or a work and witness, or giving a teenager a gift of money so that teen can go to church camp or can go on a work and witness trip. All of these things, I'm at verse 11 in my way of looking at this, all of these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what God desires to each person.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.